Moncrief on News Talk.
If you're one of those people who spends most of the week sitting on your ass staring at a screen, but at the weekend out of guilt you might go for a run, good news. According to a recent study, it still does you some good, no matter how many cakes you ate between Monday and Friday. John Belton is owner of the number 17 personal training centre in Dublin. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Is research like this going to put you out of business?
Well, listen, that's what I'm afraid of. I think you gave a great caveat there. I think, look, at anything that's encouraging people to get active, to get out there and get moving, I'm all about. And this new study, or this new headline that's came out, let's say, is grabbing a lot of people's attention, because the weekend warriors, you know, it's becoming more and more popular. I think the exercise and the great outdoors is starting to replace the pubs and the restaurants to a certain extent. So I think this is a welcome one for me.
Yeah, okay. But I would imagine, though, if you're only doing it at the weekends, does that, you know, and you're doing nothing in between, does it make it more difficult for you every time to, you know, get off the couch and go for the run on a Saturday?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I suppose it comes down to what the individual's goals are at the end of the day. If I was to speak to a client and they said, look, I just want to exercise on the weekends, my next question would be, well, what do you do Monday to Friday? Because everyone's understanding of exercise is different. And for some people, getting out and walking for 5 or 10 minutes every day is exercise. Where in my world, I think I view 10,000 steps a day as just what we should be doing. It's like brushing your teeth in the morning. So if that's all someone's doing, that they're getting their 10,000 steps in per day, but then on the weekend, perhaps hitting a couple of total body strength sessions or even, you know, some sprints and things like that on the weekend, then that's a fantastic way to train. There's loads of variants to this answer, I guess. But in general, I look at a week instead of looking at a daily basis. And I found this becomes very helpful with clients. If we zoom out, so you may set yourself up for the week and go, right, I'm going to train on Monday, and then I'm going to have a great week, and then train on Tuesday and all the rest of it. And then Monday, something gets in the way, and Tuesday, something gets in the way. And we generally then tend to just throw it all out the window and say, ah, that's it now. I'm a failure. But if we zoom out and look at the week and say, look, your goal for the week is to get 4 or 5 PTs or strength sessions in for the week. Or in another way to look at it is, if your goal for the week is to get 7,000 steps in each day or 10,000 steps in each day, zoom out, look at your week and make sure that you're getting that total block in at the week. If that means cramming a little bit in the weekend, that's okay.
Mm. Now, 7 or 10,000 steps, how much is that in distance?
Well, this depends, and I don't mean this in a bad way, it depends on the tracker that you're using, and it depends on the length of your legs. me doing 10,000 steps at my 5'8" on a good day versus someone who's 6'2", there's probably a kilometer or two in the difference. And, you know, when we're using something to track steps, I've got 3 different devices I'm using at the moment as a study I'm actually doing myself. I've got an Aura ring, I've got a Polar watch, and I've got a Whoop band on my arm. And the 3 of them are giving me significant different readings. To give you an example, I did a long run on the weekend, and my ring told me I did 53,000 steps, but my Whoop told me I did 28. So it's massive.
Wow.
So when I hate to put a dampener on this steps conversation, but the thing about the steps is, if you're tracking what you're doing and look at it for a week, track it for a week. And if you're feeling that you're getting benefit from it, aim to stick with that. If you feel like you can do some more and you need to do some more, then just increase whatever that number was that your device is giving you. If that's a €25 device that tracks steps, that's perfect. Just make sure that you're increasing that number a little bit. I think we can get caught up in the steps and how many steps it actually is,
sure,
and what the actual distance is. But at the end of the day, more activity is better.
Yeah. Now, well, because I'm the reason I asked that was, and it makes perfect sense, the taller you are, probably the less steps you have to do to cover a certain distance. But if you're 6'2" or 5'5", and those two people say, right, I'm going to walk 5 kilometres a day, are they getting the same benefit out of that?
Yes, they are. Arguably, the taller person may get more of a benefit. It's depending on what base they're coming from. I'm giving you lots of it depends answers.
Sure.
Because for a fit individual to walk 5K, it may not boost their, you know, heart rate by any level. It may not increase their oxygen intake. It may not make any difference. For somebody who's not quite as fit, who's 6'2" or 6'3", walking that 5K could be a huge thing that brings them into what we call zone 2 aerobic sort of duress, which means that their heart rate is elevated up to a rate of perceived exertion that's maybe a 4 or a 5 or even a 6 out of 10 in some cases. And that's where I want to see most people building out their base, building out their fitness base. So getting that walk in where you're slightly breathless, you know, not bucketing sweat, not needing to even change clothes into shorts to do it. That's a great way for people to build their base. So it's all coming from where you know, whatever your base is. And look, I guess that comes back to going, not comparing ourselves to others, looking at where we actually are. And for some, that's a 5K is huge. 5K to get some body fat off, to get that heart and lungs working better is amazing. For others, you know, it's just what they do on their way to work as they're listening to their morning podcast.
So should you always be have half an eye on increasing the amount all the time? So, you know, can you kind of hit a sweet spot? You do the same amount every day and you're a handy dandy, or has to be, you know, I used to do 5K. Now I have to walk to Leitrim and back.
Very good point. So when we talk about exercise in general, we always need to progress what we're doing. But there's many ways to progress it. It doesn't have to be extra distance. You can increase the intensity, the speed. You can add some hills to your walk. You could even add, which a lot of people are doing now, a new craze in the States called rucking, which is like a weighted pack. And you'll see people walking onto the dart, everything else with their ruck now, with their pack. And they'll have gotten their steps in and carrying a little bit of extra weight. So there's different ways to add that and change it. My view on it would be, if you're feeling confident to walk 5K, you know, most days, it's not taking a huge amount out of it. Now it's time for you to start bringing some intensity into your exercise. That can be whatever you enjoy doing. That could be a spinning class, for example. That could be a nice hilly walk or hike on the weekends. It could be some sprints up your driveway. It could be lifting some weights, but bringing a little bit more intensity in. I don't love the term, it keeps the body guessing, because it's a very general term. But really, our body has so many different facets to it, so many different energy systems, so many different muscle types and muscle fiber types. So the more broad we get with the type of stimulus we give our body, the greater change we see over time, and the greater readiness we then have for everyday things in life, whether that's something like falling down and having to get back up again, or whether that's picking somebody up who's fell down on the floor. You're going to feel stronger and aerobically fitter, you know, to take a task, to run after the bus, whatever that might be. And I think we spoke about running after buses before, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, indeed. Now, and finally, some people might have the mindset that I'd go to the gym on Thursday so I can go on the absolute rip on a Friday. Do those two things, you know, does the rip cancel out the exercise, or does the exercise, you know, mean that the effects of the drink isn't so bad?
I'm going to say that the rip outweighs, like the rip does damage. And unfortunately, there's no way of getting around that. And the research is just becoming stronger that any level of alcohol consumption just completely throws us back and sets us back. If we think that we kind of get extra, you know, alcohol points by doing a 10K run on a Friday, that we can then go out on a Saturday because we did that 10K run, we can drink four more beers. Absolutely. Unfortunately, I can't agree with that one or condone it. I think, you know, accumulating your exercise points to eat more and drink more on the weekend is a little element, bit of an element of self-sabotage. But what I will say is, when I see people taking action and starting to move, and although they might have that mindset of going, oh, I'm going to do this so I can go on the pints now for the whole weekend, what they end up feeling is, when people start to feel that feel-good factor and get those endorphins from exercise, they tend after a while to go, do you know what? I'm just shooting myself in the foot here. But I prefer the feeling of feeling good. I prefer how that tastes versus the taste of those 10 pints. That's not always the case, but a lot of times it is.
Ah, you're no fun at all, John. Thanks a million for talking to us today. That was John Belton, their owner of Number 17 Personal Training.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.